Chapter 14. Greg had settled comfortably into his morning regimen when the phone shrilled. He was straddling the wooden bench in the lounge, back flat against the chalet wall, lifting the bar smoothly, letting it fall, push again. The exercise was mindless, easing him into a near dream state. Push, relax, nothing to it. He'd rigged the pulley up to a pump which filled the chalet's rafter tank. 20 minutes each morning was enough to top it up. It supplied the toilet and shower in the bathroom. The jacuzzi didn't work any more. There weren't enough solar cells on the roof to heat that much water. He didn't mind. Showers with Eleanor were more than enough compensation. She'd blossomed beautifully over the last 6 weeks, independence giving her a seasoned self-assurance. There was very little left of the timid, uncertain girl he'd seduced that night in the wheat sheaf. Easy, youthful enthusiasms had given way to measured assessments. Eleanor voiced her own opinions now, instead of quiescently accepting other people's, and she no longer watched over her shoulder, fearful of past shadows. If her father ever showed up again, he would be in for the shock of his life. Greg almost wished he would come. The real foundation of their relationship was the level of trust, which was total. That was unique to Greg. He'd never escaped the habit of letting his esper sense sniff out the faults and insecurities of anyone in his presence. It was a behavioral reflex, one of the psychologists assigned to the Mindstar Brigade had told him, establishing your superiority over everyone to your own satisfaction. Don't worry about it. We'd all do it if we could. With Eleanor, it wasn't necessary. He knew her too well. The phone jarred his mind away from introspection. He ignored it. Push. Relax. Perhaps the caller would give up. Push. Slop of water overhead. Relax. His belly was like steel now, flat and hard. Legs solid, arms powerful. He'd never been fitter, not even as a squaddy. It made him feel good, confident, capable of tackling anything. The phone kept on shrilling. There was a dump facility in the terminal for messages, but the caller wasn't using it. Push, relax. Someone must want him urgently. He let the bar fall and walked over to the new Event Horizon terminal. The chalet was all kitted out with Event Horizon gear now, and he'd left a whole lot more in the delivery van. There simply hadn't been room for all the stuff that Julia had sent. Eleanor had had a ball picking out what they could use. The fee money had been good as well. He'd paid off the outstanding installments on the Duo, then went to town refurbishing the chalet, new carpets, curtains, restoring the furniture, stripped the roof down and replaced the tiles, tacked on a second solar panel to power the new air conditioner. There hadn't quite been enough cash to replace the shaky walls, but the money ordinary cases brought in should see to that before the end of the year. He'd already worked on a couple since the Memox skim, both corporate, sniffing out dodgy personnel. The phone screen swirled, and Philip Evans' face appeared.
"Hello, Greg. I need your help again, boy. Someone is trying to kill me."
Greg suppressed a smile. 10 years in the business, and nobody had ever phoned in a cliché before.
"Bodyguard services aren't really my field, sir. Wouldn't your own security—"
He trailed off and stared at the screen. Stared and stared. Small muscles at the back of his knees began to twitch, threatening to topple him. When he looked back on it, he blamed his exercise-induced lethargy for putting his mind on a 10-second delay to reality. That and intuition. It wasn't just the voice and image which convinced him. Any animation synthesizer could mimic Philip to perfection. But this was Philip Evans, grinning away at the other end of the connection, both the natural and neuro-hormone-boosted faculties squatting in his brain forced him to accept it at a fundamental level. The black-clad funeral procession wending its way through Peterborough's rain-slicked streets occluded his vision.
"You're dead," he told the image.
"Gone but not forgotten."
That malicious chuckle. Perfect. Him.
"Sorry to give you a shock, my boy, but I'd never have called unless it was absolutely vital. Can you come out to Willem? I really can't discuss too much over the phone. I'm sure you appreciate that."
The tone mocked. Greg's skittish nerves began to flutter down towards some kind of equilibrium. Shock numbness, probably.
I think I can manage that. When?"
"Soon as possible, Greg, please."
The image wasn't perfect, he realized. This was a Philip Evans he hadn't seen before. Flesh firmer, skin colour salubrious, stronger, younger by about a decade.
Okay, are you in any danger right now?
At some aloof level, he marvelled at his own reaction, treating it as just another prosaic problem. Spoke volumes for army training.
Not from anything physical. The manor is well protected.
Physical. So what was a ghost afraid of, anyway? Being exorcised? Should he stop off to buy a clove of garlic, a crucifix, and a grimoire?
I'm on my way.
He pulled on his one decent suit, barking a shin on that idiotically oversized bed in the scramble to shove his feet into a pair of black leather shoes. Thought about taking the Walther, and decided against. The duo bounced along the estate's gravel track and lurched onto the road. He set off towards Willem Manor, coaxing a full 55 kilometers per hour from the engine, rocking slowly in the seat. The duo had thick balloon-type tires, made out of a hard-wearing silicon rubber. They were designed to cope with the country's shambolic road services without being torn to ribbons. A typical PSP fix, he thought, adapting the cars to cope with their failure to maintain the roads. There was a white watchman pillar standing outside Willem's odd cattle grid. He wound the side window down and showed his card to it.
"Your visit has been authorized, Mr. Mandel," a construct voice said. "Please do not deviate from the road. Thank you."
The manor's spread of ornate flora was in full bloom, a spectacular moiré patchwork of sharp primary colours. Big jets of water were spurting across the parched lawns. He could see the two gardeners working away amongst the rose beds. They leant on their hoes to watch him walk up to the front doors.
However did that idle pair manage to keep the grounds in such a trim condition?
The butler opened the door. Morgan Walshaw stood behind him, his face drawn. A quick check of his mind showed Greg he was laboring under a prodigious quantity of anxiety.
"Mandel," Morgan Walshaw greeted him with a curt nod. "This way."
A stiff finger beckoned. Greg followed him up the big, curving staircase. The butler shut the doors silently behind them as they ascended.
"What the fuck is going on?"
he asked the security chief in a low tone.
"Did he fake his death or what?"
Walshaw's face twisted into a grimace.
"Explanations in a moment. Just ride it out, okay?"
They arrived at the study and Walshaw opened the door, giving Greg a semi-apologetic shrug as they went in. The interior was almost the same as it had been on his last visit. Big table running down the middle, stone fireplace, dark panelling, warm sunlight streaming through small lead-lined panes of glass, dust boats sparkling in the beams. In the middle of the table was a circular black column, seamless, a metre tall, 75 centimetres wide. It rested on a narrow plinth, which radiated bundles of fibre-optic cables like wheel spokes. They fell over the edge of the table and snaked en masse across the Persian carpet to a compact bank of communication consoles standing by the wall. Julia was seated at the head of the table, where her grandfather used to sit, wearing a rusty orange-coloured cotton summer dress, with a slim red leather band around her brow holding back her long hair. One of the two gear cubes in front of her was showing tiny editions of herself and Walshaw walking up the stairs together. The other had his duo driving up the manor. Her mind was beautifully composed. Greg recognized the state, the kind of tranquility which follows a severe emotional jolt. His skin crawled with rigor. An animal caution awoken. There was something deeply unsettling about walking into the study. Her tawny eyes never left him. He looked at the column, ghoulish images creeping into his mind. Frankenstein, zombies, the undead, brains in glass tanks.
"Thank you for coming,"
said Phillips Evans's voice, all around, directionless. Greg's eyes remained fixed on the column.
"Stop fucking about. Where are you?"
"Good question. Unfortunately, philosophy was never my strong point. I've thrown off my mortal coil, sure enough, but my mind has been saved. You're looking right at me, boy. It's a neural network BioWare core. A real special one, custom-grown, you might say. The lab team spliced my sequencing RNA into the ferredoxin nodes, replicating my neuronic structure.
Then, when I was dying, they used a neurocoupling to translocate my memories. Not a copy, not some clever Turing personality responses program, but my actual thought processes. Axon stimulators literally squeezed me out of my skull and into the NN core. Continuity was unbroken. My faculties are intact. Enhanced, if anything. Memory retrieval is instantaneous. There's none of that scratching around forgetting people's names and faces. I have access to all Event Horizon's data, too. Locating that Memox crystal skim took me 4 days when I was flesh and blood. It wouldn't take me 10 seconds now. And there's no pain, Greg. I'm free of it. Not just death illness, but all those aches which mount up over the years, the ones you learn to ignore, only you never can, of course. They've gone.
Greg pulled out one of the solid wooden chairs and sat heavily. Jesus Christ. The column must be solid BioWare. He tried to work out how much that would cost. 15? 20 million? BioWare was horrifically expensive. Immortality for billionaires. He wasn't sure whether he was fascinated or utterly disgusted. The concept didn't sink in readily.
I can create the image of myself in a cube again, if that would be easier for you to talk to, boy.
Greg shuddered. No, thank you. Morgan Walshaw sat next to him, resting his hands on the table, face blank.
Why am I here?
Greg asked stoically.
Because we have a problem, said Julia. Someone is trying to wreck Event Horizon's future.
He received the distinct impression she was enjoying his discomfiture.
You see, Greg, she said, Dr. Ranasvari has succeeded in developing a viable room-temperature giga-conductor for us.
Greg looked at her sharply.
You're kidding.
He remembered some Royal Engineering Corps officers he'd been stationed with once had talked about the stuff. A panacea, they'd called it. The answer to the energy shortage, to carbon dioxide pollution. Every university and combinate in the world had its own research team working on giga-conductors before the credit crash. Then there were innumerable mega-budget military programs. A giga-conductor would have produced a whole new generation of weapons.
Told you he was a genius, boy. Edison of the age. Dedicated to. It took him over a decade of solid grind to crack.
Quiet, please, Grandpa. It's a tremendous breakthrough, Greg. Its energy storage density is phenomenal. It will replace every other form of power storage system in existence. Gear, cars, ships, planes, airships, space planes, they'll all use it. And it's cheap, clean, and relatively easy to produce. Our whole way of life will be altered. It's a revolution equal to the introduction of the steam engine.
And Event Horizon holds the patent,
Philip chuckled savagely.
We're going to wipe the floor with the opposition. A Custer and the Indians massacre. I'll make damn sure of that when I introduce the stuff on the market.
Greg took another look at the mass of fiber-optic cables leading out of the plinth, trying to work out the NN core's bitrate.
You're still running Event Horizon, he said.
All Phillips Evans's talk about arranging for trustees he had confidence in, and the flash of cunning at the time, came flooding back to him.
Damn right I am, boy. There are no trustees, never were. The nominees are all Zurich fronts. Event Horizon is my life. No individual in the world can run a company better than me. I'm talking 50 years' worth of accumulated experience. There's no substitute for that. It's the efficiency of dictatorship. A group of trustees would be worse than useless lawyers and airhead accountants. They'd never push the giga-conductor with the kind of vigor necessary to effect a complete domination of the market. Discussion groups, reports, delays for consultation. What a load of crap! Event Horizon, run by a committee, would shrivel up and die an ignominious death. This is the perfect solution. Before now, when a family company grew too big for one person to pay attention to every detail, it used to stall. It was inevitable. Responsibilities had to be delegated. The initial individual-led drive was diluted. But the NN Corps solves even that. I can devote myself 100% to each problem, no matter the size, coordinate every policy, supervise every division. No combinate will be able to match a company run along these lines.
You were doing pretty well before, Julia said acidly. One ordinary person, and an ill one at that. With the right people in key posts, Event Horizon will prosper. All that's needed is direction, a firmness of purpose, the big decisions made quickly and implemented without delay.
And you can do that, Juliet, can you?
Yeah.
Rubbish! You don't have anything like the experience.
She was angry now, straight-backed, rigid, gripping the arms of her seat.
I do.
Node implants don't give you experience, girl, just theory. All that money you spent getting rid of Kendrick, pure bloody folly.
Greg flicked a glance at Julia, intrigued. Her cheeks were burning red, embarrassed rather than angered. Implanted nodes had been banned in England by the PSP for the usual heinous crime of elitism. The new Conservatives had yet to repeal the act. But at least he could finally explain away her remarkably smooth thought currents and that marvellous ability to fish obscure data out of memory cores.
It's like chess,
Philip Evans explained gently.
You know how each piece should move, but you don't know the rules, the strategy. You'll learn, Juliet, really you will. It just takes time. And I'm here to bridge the gap for you.
But the NN Corps is untried, she said, fighting to keep her voice level. How do we know all your memories translocated? Suppose these miraculous thought processes of yours are incorrect, and you're basing judgments about the company's entire future on them.
Finally, Greg understood her terror. She was afraid of losing everything. That wonderful edifice which was Event Horizon, collapsing to rubble because it was balanced on a single assumption. And she had no way of checking the NN Corps' integrity. No control.
If I could bring us back to our current problem, said Morgan Warshaw, unless something is done to solve it, we may lose the Corps anyway.
You told me someone tried to kill you, Greg said.
Damn right, boy. Yesterday evening, the NN Corps' inputs were blitzed, saturated with override priority data squirts. Every channel simultaneously, ground links and satellite circuits. It was clever. The attacker was attempting to force me out of the NN Corps with the sheer quantity of input. With all the data being given a priority code, the Corps function management program would have to assign its storage space, eventually displacing my memories. I would have been erased, for God's sake! That's attempted murder in my book.
So what went wrong?
I'm not a rational, neatly mathematical program. I fought back, began wiping their data as it came in, changed the priority codes, shut down the Event Horizon data net. And you wouldn't believe how much that's going to cost us. They bloody nearly succeeded, though. If I'd have been a Turing personality responses program, it would have been all over.
Greg was fast getting out of his depth. He remembered questioning a Legion cleric his squad had captured in Turkey, a fanatical fundamentalist, so devout he didn't even acknowledge the infidel's existence. His associative word trick had been useless. The sense of displacement was familiar. He tried to sort out some sort of priority list in his mind.
Have you safeguarded yourself from that attack method being employed again?
Yes. It's a question of code encryption. I've altered my acceptance filters so that only half of my input circuits will accept priority squirts. Of course, there's nothing to stop them from thinking up new methods.
So the problem is now centered around tracking down the source of the attack, right? And eliminating it, said Walshaw.
Greg opened his eyes.
Your department.
Walshaw gave him a brief nod.
So where did the data squirt originate from?
Greg asked. Walshaw ran his hand through what was left of his hair.
We've no leads on that, I'm afraid. There were at least 8 separate hot rods who hacked into the Event Horizon data net, probably more, but with the shutdown we lost a lot of data. The blitz was well organized. All 8 violators used multiple cutouts to prevent us from tracing them.
I'm surprised they got in so easily.
Entry is no problem, said Philip Evans. It's when you try to get our main account to transfer €1 million francs to your Zurich bank or peek into research team memory files that you run into trouble. Nobody has ever had a requirement to fend off this type of infiltration before. Its own crudity was what made it so successful.
Crude?
Well, relatively.
I'm trying to eliminate possibilities, Greg said. It wasn't a blanket attack, was it? What I mean is, it was purposefully directed at you. They knew you were here.
Yes. I would say it's got to be one of those bastard combinates. They've discovered Ranasfari cracked the Giga Conductor, and they're badly worried. Anyone with a gram of sense can see the upheaval it's going to cause. Trouble is, they can't destroy it. There's no turning the clock back. Instead, they've settled for the next best thing, which is yours truly. Without me, Event Horizon won't be nearly as successful in marketing the stuff. They'd only have Julia and the non-existent trustees to deal with.
So that rules out Joyburners, Greg said. They don't work in packs, anyway. How well guarded is the knowledge of your continued existence?
Only 12 people in the world knew, said Morgan Walshaw. 13 counted yourself. That's myself, Julia, Renasfari, and the team which grew the NN Corps.
Just 9 of them? Greg asked incredulously.
There's nothing complicated about the process, said Philip.
We've had neurocoupling for 8 years now, and the RNA splice is a standard procedure. It's only the cost of this much bioware which prevents it from becoming widespread.
Okay, next question. Would the Hot Rod team, which launched the Blitz, have to be told you were here, or could they find out by analyzing the data flow through Event Horizon's network?
They'd know the NN Corps was an important part of the network from observing the data flow, but that's all.
Unless they were specifically told what the NN Corps was, the best they could guess is that it was an ordinary BioWare number cruncher loaded with a Turing personality responses program.
In other words, they know about you.
Looks that way, boy.
With only 12 people knowing about the Corps, I can pin down that mole for you, no messing, Greg said. So, where is the other leak liable to have come from?
Ministry of Defense, I hope, said Walshaw.
Most likely, Philip Evans admitted. Morgan here kept a tight security cordon around the Gigaconductor project, but we had to cooperate with the MOD. It was on a confidential basis, of course, but leaks are inevitable on a project this big. You just have to balance the risk against the payoff.
2 separate leaks, Morgan said. It's an appalling lapse. One I could accept, but compromising the NN Corps and the Gigaconductor as well, that hurts.
Greg paused, worried about what Walshaw had said, his intuition producing that annoying tingle again. 2 separate, simultaneous high-level leaks was stretching coincidence a long way.
Did you ever find out how Kendrick's Tech Merc team acquired their data on Xanthus's security monitor parameters in the first place? They must have had copies to work out that de-streaming maneuver.
Walshaw frowned, glancing at the black column.
We are still tracking down the actual Tech Mercs. They've taken a lot of trouble to cover their tracks.
So nobody I found passed the data over?
No.
Could it have been a Hot Rod burn which pulled the data?
Julia cleared her throat, giving Walshaw an inquiring look. The security chief nodded reluctantly.
To get at the monitor programs, you would have to either burn straight into the security division's data core or copy the programs direct from Xanthus's ware, she said. Xanthus would probably be the easiest option, but you would need to be up there to do it.
If it was a Hot Rod burn, Greg mused.
Bloody hell, boy! You're not telling me we've still got a Judas in the company?
There's no such thing as coincidence, Greg said soberly. 2 leaks on the 2 greatest ultra-hush projects Event Horizon is running, plus a loose end over the security monitor programs. Make up your own mind.
I said that it had to be someone familiar with our security data procedures, Julia said.
So you did, Julia. So you did.
Walshaw shook his head in dismay, lips drawn taut.
This means we're going to have to open the field of inquiry to include the whole security division headquarters staff, 280 personnel.
He cocked an eyebrow at Greg.
Exactly how many interviews can you handle?
Tell you not that many. Not in the timescale we'd need. Remember, if this mole exists, he'll know we're gunning for him now. He'll be watching for us. At the first sign of any security operation geared to pinpointing him, he'll vanish, if he hasn't already. My advice is work from the other end. That way we can keep the operation at a manageable level, track down the Blitz hot rods and the people who paid them, and then we'll find out if there is a mole in your senior staff.
You just said there was,
Philip sounded irritated.
Covering my options.
Bloody hell.
If it is just one person, then it's going to be a very senior staff member, Walshaw said. The security around the NN Corps was rock solid, dammit.
A staff member or an executive assistant, Greg said. Someone who had access to financial records and saw how much money was being spent on an ultra-hush BioWare project.
Walshaw took a stiff breath.
Possible, he said.
Greg's Esper sense registered exactly how much the admission cost him.
"Okay, back to the hot rods," he said. "Is the Ministry of Defense the only outside institution you've informed about the Giga Conductor?"
"Yeah," said Julia. "Bringing them in was an integral part of Grandpa's campaign."
"Oldest dodge in the book,"
Philip said.
"Offer the military a worthwhile new technology and they fund its development from shaky prototype right the way through to fully functional operational status. Then you can tack civil applications on the back at minimum cost. The production facility pump has already been primed by good old taxpayers' cash."
"They leapt at it," Julia confirmed. "The country's entire defense forces have to be rebuilt after the PSP virtually dismantled them, and we can provide them with a new generation of high-energy global-range weapons, concepts even the Germans and Americans haven't got yet."
"The whole world is going to be hammering on our door,"
Philip Evans said gleefully.
"The fees from licensed production will rake in a couple of billion euro francs each year alone, minimum. Then there's our own profits. Think of how Event Horizon will grow with that kind of annual investment in its infrastructure."
"The Ministry of Defense will conduct their own inquiry, of course," said Morgan Walshaw. "See if any of their personnel were the source of the leak, and if they were, who the data was channeled to. We've told them that the Blitz was aimed at the lightware crunchers we use in the Giga Conductor project. There's no need for them to know about the NN Corps."
"Bloody right, boy. Something like this would bring the fruitcakes pouring out the woodwork. Everyone and his grandmother would want to be loaded into an NN Corps."
"Somebody outside Event Horizon already knows, though, Grandpa."
"Don't remind me, girl. At least they've not made it public for whatever reason. Probably afraid of losing whatever advantage they've got over the other combinates. That'll be something for you to watch for, Juliet, if they do get me. Whichever bastard is the first to put the pressure on you for a low license fee, they're the ones."
"Don't talk like that," she said, quietly insistent. "Nobody's going to get you."
"Are your security programmers trying to backtrack the hot rods behind the Blitz?" Greg asked Walshaw.
"Yes, although I don't hold out much hope of success. The hacker community is a hard one to crack. Our best chance is if a rumor escapes. Someone bragging, stoned, or drunk."
"I'll see what I can do. I have a contact in that area."
"Who?"
asked Philip.
"Tell you, you pay me for results, and that's what you'll get. But your money doesn't entitle you to know my sources. Without confidentiality, I'd never be able to hang on to them."
"Oh, pardon me."
Philip shoveled on the sarcasm, thick and dripping.
"Sounds like a reporter,"
Julia muttered tartly.
"I'm reassembling the team which built the NN Corps for you to interview," Walshaw told Greg. "We disbanded them after Mr. Evans was successfully translocated. Shouldn't take more than a day or two. They're all still employed by us."
"Right then. In the meantime, I'll get started on Ranasfari's research team," Greg said briskly. "Oh, by the way, Julia..."
She looked up, half-smiling, expectant.
"Who've you told that your grandpa's still intact?"
"No one."
It emerged as an indignant squawk. Her mind flamed like a solar flare from high-energy outrage. No guilt, no subterfuge.
"How dare you?"
"Sorry, just checking that..."
"He's my grandpa."
"Juliet, shush. Greg's doing exactly what I asked him here for."
She shut up, but spiked Greg with an evil glare. He swiveled round to look inquiringly at Walshaw.
"I have never told anybody that Philip Evans's memories are intact, nor that Event Horizon has perfected a Giga Conductor," the security chief said formally.
"True."
"Aren't you going to ask me, boy?"
Julia was suddenly very alert, giving Greg an intense stare, her mind coloured by a strange mix of curiosity and trepidation. The hairs along the back of Greg's neck pricked up. He concentrated. Right at the edge of perception was a faint nebulous glow. Details were non-existent. Half-life? Half-death? Not a mind as he knew minds. And yet...
"No,"
he said eventually.
"Ah, well, worth a try."
The disembodied voice was utterly devoid of emotional content. The study window showed green grass and blue sky. Reality. Greg focused on that. A flock of dark birds flew by, infinitely reassuring in their normality.
"We've got four lines of investigation," he summarized. "The hot rod pack which launched the Blitz,
The team which built the NN core ran as far as Giga Conductor Research Team and a possible executive-level mole. That's a lot of ground for me to cover. I'm going to need money, not to mention help. There's a colleague I'd like to bring in. Spread the load a little. Walshaw produced a card from his pocket, embossed with the company's triangle and flying V emblem. This will give you unlimited access to any Event Horizon facility. It also provides you a credit line directly to the company's central account. Please try not to spend more than 500,000. The little oblong of active plastic sat in Greg's palm, innocuous. 500,000. Eurofrancs or new sterling? He didn't ask. These people were serious.
"Who's your colleague?"
Julia asked, her face lifted with interest. "Another psychic. A Mindstar veteran like myself."
"What's his speciality?"
"Her. Her speciality. She can see into the future."
She didn't call him a liar to his face, but his esper sense told him it was a close-run thing.